It's good to have all of you here tonight with us. It's always a blessed time to get around some good old gospel singing. I appreciate the songs that all of you have sung during this revival meeting. You just don't get to hear good Christian music hardly anymore. So it is a blessing. We do have some visitors here. I'd like to honor them. Terry and Debbie Stewart, some people that I met through the internet. And they're from Bandera. Where are y'all at? Would you all stand up, please? I'd just like to welcome you here today and all your kiddos. You have four children, right? So we want to welcome, I forgot all their names, but we're glad you're here. We thank the Lord for you. Also, Brother Trinidad is here. Trinidad Garza. We're glad to stand up, brother. Go ahead. Do you bring somebody with you also? Okay, we're glad to have you here tonight. Do we have any other visitors in tonight? Anybody else? Well, praise the Lord. We're glad you came. Brother Danny. Would you stand up, brother? I think you ought to stand up. We have a new brother here. Now, we don't believe in people getting saved and being ashamed of the Lord. You just stand right up there. And I want to ask you, did you really trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? You've been saved? You're on the road to heaven now? Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We just might get a revival around here. No, it really is good to be here. I want to thank all of you for your hospitality, all that good cooking. We had some good old-fashioned, what was that called? I forget what you call that stuff. Enchiladas. Enchiladas and frijoles, some arroz, and all that stuff we haven't had in a long time. It was really good, and we enjoyed it. And in fact, we've enjoyed it all this week. We just really appreciate all the fine food you folks have cooked for us, and we just really appreciate it. Looking forward to what's coming tomorrow, too, and the next day, so we're just really enjoying it. All right, tonight, how many people got your Bibles? Let's see them Bibles. I want to see them Bibles. King James Bibles, authorized version of the Holy Word of God. Amen. Brother Terry, that is a King James Bible you brought, isn't it? Okay, I'm glad to hear that. Just checking on you. Now, Brother Trinidad, if you have La Reina Valera, we'll let you off. See? Now you, okay, we got English there, too. All right. We don't want nobody sneaking one of them new Bibles in here. All right. I got a question for you tonight. Last night we preached on there's none good but one, that being God. All of you raise your hands and everybody's agreement that Jesus Christ is the only good one. Amen. Well, you know what? Somebody killed him. Somebody took that good man and hung him on a cross and killed him. Now, you got to run across America. You got an indictment and you got special prosecutors searching in, find out who did what, and they're mud-rucking and whatever. But I want you to know, somebody has committed a high crime tonight, and they killed the Prince of Life, and they hung him on a tree, and I'd like to go through the scriptures tonight and find out who killed Jesus. First of all, I'd like to say that a crime has been committed. It's a crime of murder. Look, if you will, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 35. Now, I hope you bought your Bible, because here we go. We're going to go through the scriptures. Does everybody like my jacket? My wife bought me this jacket. My wife bought me this jacket. She got this jacket for $2.50. That's a nice jacket for $2.50. Cost me about $10 to get it hemmed up. But I appreciate it. But now I'm going to take off this jacket, because this jacket was made for Poland. It was not. Was not made for San Antonio, Texas. This beautiful, beautiful weather in San Antonio, Texas. What beautiful weather we have here. Thank God for the weather in San Antonio, Texas. Look down in Numbers in chapter 35 and verse 16. I said a high crime has been committed. Murder has been committed. They hung an innocent man. And here's what the Bible has to say about it. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Now understand, they took this innocent man, Jesus, and they put some iron through his hands. And my Bible says the men that did this, and women, that did this are murderers. And the murderer shall surely be put to death. So this is a capital crime, and we're going for capital punishment. When we find the guilty parties, we're going to hang them. That's justice, because they hung an innocent man. We'll read further. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. We have understanding, the prosecuting office has come by some information, that these same murderers that drove that iron through his hands and his feet, they tried to stone him. They didn't actually hit him with a stone, but their intentions were there. They're murderers. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood, whereby with he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. Now listen to me. Doesn't it say over there in Micah in chapter 5, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek? They smote our Savior, this innocent man, they smote him with a rod. Probably a hand weapon of wood, or some type of wood. And my Bible says, the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. Now, do we understand the crime and the charges that have been committed? Do we understand the penalty that is awaiting those that are found guilty? Does everybody understand? Are you awake tonight? I'm going to ask you again. Are you awake tonight?
Amen.
All right, I'll just check it. I don't want you falling asleep. This is a trial. All right? Now look over in Revelation chapter 21. We're going to find out what the penalty is. My Bible says they shall surely die, and they're going to be partakers of the second death. In Revelation in chapter 21 and verse 8, my Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and what? Murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If we find the guilty party, they're going to meet him, the revenger of blood. That's God Almighty. And when God gets a hold of these guilty people, he's going to put them in a lake of fire, and they're going to burn forever. He's not going to put them in purgatory. Purgatory does not exist. There's no such place. They're not just going to disappear. They're going to burn forever when we find the dirty rats that hung an innocent man. Well, across our desk, this investigating office, comes news that somebody betrayed this innocent man. A man by the name of Judas, and so we're going to look into his life. Did he have a motive? Yeah, he had a motive. Look, if you will, in Matthew in chapter 26. Now, Brother Trinidad on this side over here was a police officer, if I recall, for a number of years, and I'm sure he did some investigating. And when a murder has been committed, I mean, you're going to look for the guilty party. Your first thing you want to know is what kind of motive did he have? Isn't that right? That's right. Look at Matthew in chapter 26 and verse 14. One of the leading suspects was a friend of this innocent man, the friend of Jesus. It has been reported that he was a disciple of Jesus and walked with him for 3.5 years. Matthew in chapter 26 and verse 14, and then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went on to the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? You see, we got this marked down, see? It was on tape recording. God registered. It was written in God's holy word, see? We caught him. He didn't think anybody was listening, see? He didn't think anybody was going to find out about it. He did it secretly, but God was listening to what he had to say. And God wrote it down. And here's the record that I present before you tonight. Here's what he said. What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Now notice what happened. This man named Judas Iscariot betrayed an innocent man for 30 pieces of silver. Now everybody hates a traitor. Is that right? I mean, all across America, everybody hates Linda Tripp. Right? You know, I don't know. I think it's all scum. Right? Both sides. It's just a mess. I wouldn't want to mess with it. But you know, they hated Benedict Arnold. Isn't that right? Now, how many of you want to name your kid Judas? Everybody hates this man. Everybody hates a traitor. Am I right? Did you know a traitor betrayed Wycliffe, one of the guys that first translated the Word of God? A friend of his betrayed him. And they took him out and killed Wycliffe. Well, here's Jesus. Here's this man named Judas. Now, what did Jesus do to upset Judas that got so mad that he delivered him to be killed? I don't think anything. I think Judas was a thief from the very beginning. He was a lover of money. Doesn't the Bible somewhere say that the love of money is the root of all evil? Well, this man named Judas betrayed an innocent man. And they took him out and they crucified him. Well, we know his motive. We also know, if you look in the Word of God in John in chapter 18, quickly now, and verse 3, I should say verse 2, and Judas also, which he betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times reported thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? You see, Judas not only betrayed Jesus, but he led a band of men to go out and lead captive an innocent man. They did it at night. They did it in the night season. He thought nobody was looking. But that God that sees all things looked in on the thing and he wrote it down. And my Bible says that Judas knew the place where Jesus oft resorted. He knew. In another place, I think it's over in the book of Luke, Jesus asked his friend, Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? What a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Betrays the Son of Man with a kiss. Now, you could almost understand it if there were some sort of enmity between them. If there were, you know, he got mad or Jesus somehow offended him and he just got upset. But he's selling out for 30 pieces of silver. And down to the very end, he's pretending that they're still friends. Can you get any lower than that? I would say this man, Judas, is guilty. I would say he's guilty of murder and is worthy of hellfire. Look in Matthew in chapter 27. I tell you, we got the goods on this Judas Iscariot. You see, Judas, as all criminals, forgot that God was watching. I don't know how many times in our Bible it says, but it says, and God saw. Some of you young people tonight, I'm going to tell you something. When you get in the back seat of that girl, young lady, God is looking in on that. And you better shut the whole operation right down and not do that anymore. Because God's looking in on it. And some of you getting on the phone and cussing up a storm or talking bad about your neighbor or gossiping or bad-mouthing a preacher, I want you to know God's listening in on it. Amen. Every idle word, I think Jesus said. Well, Judas forgot that. And I'm telling you, we got the goods on this Judas because he made a confession. Matthew in chapter 27 and verse 3, Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, notice what he says, here it is, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He himself admitted Jesus did nothing wrong. It was innocent blood. He said, I've sinned. I've done it. And they said, hey, I want to tell you something tonight. Judas thought that he could betray Jesus, collect the 30 pieces of silver, and nothing would happen. That's what he thought. He thought that he could get away with it. Isn't that right? And then all of a sudden he realized the error of his ways. He realized at the last moment that these priests meant business. They were going to hang him. They wanted him dead. And then he says, my God, what have I done? And he runs back to him. He says, look, I want to give you your money back. I want a return on this. Let's exchange. Don't do this. But it was too late. It was too late. Some of you young people tonight in the backseat of that car, you're thinking, ain't nothing going to happen. And then you're going to wake up and that young lady's pregnant.
Right.
Huh? And then what are you going to do? You can't change that. It's done. It's done. Some of you people are going to get on the phone and talk bad about your preacher, talk bad about somebody, and that somebody's not going to come to church because of it and not get saved. You can't undo that. It's going to be too late. Even though you weep bitterly. Seems like I read something about that in the Bible. Isn't there something about that in the Bible? What's that fellow's name? What's his name? Esau? He sold out for a cup of porridge, cup of beans. Sold out. And then my Bible says he came back and wept bitterly. But he found no place of repentance. Some of you have done some heavy sinning. And your conscience got to you and you realized the tragedy of your sin. And you felt guilty about it and you wanted to do some repentance and you confess your sins to the priest. You bow down and you tell him over and over, I sinned, but he can't cleanse your conscience, see? He can't take away your sin. My Bible says, behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world. My Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 that those priests minister every day offering the same sacrifices which can never take away sin, see? And Judas thought, he thought he'd just pick up a quick 30 pieces of silver. No big deal. And he'd be on his way. But you see, the wages of sin is death. And it's come time to pay.
And I want to say tonight, the gravel is going to come down and Judas is guilty. Somebody ought to hang that man.
It was too late. He went out and hung himself. And my Bible says he went to his own place.
But here we are in Matthew chapter 27. I'd like to say we have some other conspirators that hung an innocent man. And I would dare say they also had a motive, but we're here in Matthew chapter 27. Notice who Judas is confessing to. He's confessing to the chief priests and the elders. Now this, I know, is going to shock you. I mean, this is flashing across the pages of eternity. This is written down in God's holy word. For all eternity is going to be written down. Now who would think that priests, these are supposed to be men of God, that priests and elders would conspire to commit murder? Who would think that? I mean, you go to your Catholic temple and you find priests in there. Who would think that priests would commit murder? They do. They do. Who would think that religious men would conspire to hang an innocent man? They do. They did. But you see, God was listening in and he wrote everything down. Look what it says. Verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. I already told you that. And the chief priest took the silver piece and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. They knew that it was the price of blood. They knew it and they took it anyway and they conspired anyway. They knew it was the price of blood. These priests, I said that they had a motive. Pilate, that governor, he himself confessed. He said he knew the chief priest had delivered Jesus for envy. Did you know a religious crowd hung Jesus for envy? Now, I don't want to offend anybody tonight, but I'm going to talk to you plain. I'm going to tell you some things some Roman Catholic priests did to me. Some Roman Catholic priests went to a newspaper reporter in Aguas Calientes, and told this newspaper reporter a lie and said that Janice and I were passing out gospel or tracts, pieces of literature, with pictures of Saint Mary, Mother Mary, and St. Jude in bed together without any clothes on. Put that on the front page of a newspaper. Now who would do something like that? You'd think some mudrucker like Larry Flint or some guy like that might do something like that, right? But it was a Roman Catholic priest. Dead animals start showing up on the porch. People threatening us to kill us. Roman Catholic priests did that. You better watch out for priests. You better watch out for religious men. Religious men. It was priests and elders that conspired to kill Jesus. And they do it because of envy. You see, if you go back and read, I think it's in Ezekiel chapter 22, it says, and they made no difference between the holy and the unholy. And so these men, these priests, they're supposed to be representing God and serving God. They make no difference in the lives of people. And then when somebody comes with a gospel and a word of God, and it begins having an effect in the lives of people, they get envious. And they get mad, and they get in a rage, and they'll do things like that because of envy. So these priests conspired with this traitor, this Judas, to hang an innocent man. Look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 3. I'm telling you, there was a conspiracy. Then assembled together the chief priests. Hello. It just wasn't, you know, one priest running amok, you know, just one bad sheep. One black. This is the chief priests got together. In our time now, in our days, it would be the cardinals and the bishops and the pope all getting together. The chief priests, right? And the scribes and the elders, they had an ecumenical council, see? They got them all together of the people under the powers of the high priest who was called Caiaphas and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety. Right? Is that how you say that word? I can't even read English anymore. How do you say it? That's very good. We're going to let her say that word. And kill him. Right? And they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now we're getting an inside peek on what these priests are really like. Now if you read that passage again, you're going to see, you ought to see, that these priests are going to be saying one thing to the people and doing another thing in the palace behind their backs. Isn't that what it said? They were afraid to come out publicly saying, hey, we're against Christ. We're against him. So they did it with what? Yes, thank you. They did it secretly, right? Huh? Hey, I was down in Mexico and they're peppering us with stones. They're throwing stones at us. Now why would they do that? Aren't they Christians? They say they are. They say they're a Christian nation. They say they believe the Bible and they believe in Jesus. Would anybody here stone a Jehovah's Witnesses? You don't agree with the JWs, do you? You don't agree with them? Well, why wouldn't you stone him? I mean, you think they're heretics, don't you? Well, why wouldn't you stone him? Well, you guys agree with Joseph Smith and the Mormons? You don't agree with them? You think they're wrong? You think they're in error? You think they're leading people astray? Do you think they're leading people to hell? Well, why don't you stone them? Well, these Christians down in Mexico, they think that I'm a heretic. I can understand that. They have a right to believe that. We have a disagreement. We happen to see two different ways. They see one way, I see another. We don't agree. They claim to be sincere in their faith. I claim to be sincere in my faith. But you know what? These Christians got some stones off the ground. That's one thing I like about Poland. Now, I'm going to tell you about Poland. They don't have stones on the ground in Poland. They do have snowballs, though. But these Christians picked up these stones and began throwing them at us. I don't know, you know. Now, why would they do that if they're Christians? By their fruits you shall know them. But we got them calmed down long enough and began talking to them. And I asked them, I said, now why are you pitching stone at us? Because the priest told us. Oh, hello, hello. Hello, hello. That's Roman Catholic priests. Not Jewish priests. That's Roman Catholic priests. You know John Paul II? The guy over there in the Vatican? You know the Pope? His priests. You know the church? You know the Christians? We ought to talk about love. See? His priests did that. See? I don't have time. But you notice what's going on here? That priest didn't have enough guts to come out here and pitch the rocks himself, see? He had to get somebody else to do it. And so they were subtle in their action. You get somebody else to do it for you. The problem is, look over in Luke in chapter 24 quickly. You see, we got some witnesses. Somebody overheard and found out. And they came to testify. Luke in chapter 24, down about verse 20. Two men are testifying. They are walking down the road to Emmaus. And they're speaking. Yeah, let's start down about verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all people. And how, now notice these witnesses, they said, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Hey, we have a motive because of envy. And now we got some witnesses that are willing to testify that they condemned Jesus to death. Who killed Jesus? Priests, chief priests, and rulers of the people killed Jesus. If that's not enough, John in chapter 19, quickly, after Judas had betrayed our Savior, betrayed an innocent man, that good man who did no sin. After he betrayed him, they turn him over to Pilate. And Pilate is having a trial there. And about verse 5, then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. Oh yes, behold the man. You better behold him. Behold the man. Now notice, and when the chief priests, now notice we got more witnesses now. The chief priests, that's the cardinals, that's the bishops, I mean that's the big ones. I mean they're not the little ones, but the big ones. That's the chief ones. The chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, what'd they say? Now they said, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Did you notice that? You see, them chief priests in their rage forgot that God was keeping record. And it was written down in God's eternal word that they cried out, crucify him, crucify. I think we got enough evidence for an indictment. I think that when they meet him, that revenger of blood, he's going to say, guilty, guilty. Take him and put him in electric fire forever. Because they hung an innocent man. But notice here, we have more conspirators. It wasn't that dirty, rotten scoundrel, Judas Iscariot, who was such a rotten soul that he went out and hung himself. And it wasn't just these chief priests who were doing things and manipulating things behind the backs of the people. Some common everyday Jews were guilty of murder. Notice in the same passage. And the Jews answered him, verse 7, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Here's their motive. They're going to hang an innocent man because he said that he's the Son of God. Huh? Did you know there are some Muslims running around that if you was in their country and not here in America where you have religious liberty, if you was in their country and you got up on their street and declared boldly that Jesus, the Son of God, they'd do just like these Jews did, and they'd cry out, kill him! Kill him! That's the same religion that John Paul II said, if they're sincere in their faith, they can go to heaven too. If they're sincere in their faith. But it's very interesting. You can be sincere in your faith, but you can't go to heaven. Like I said the other night, how many believe your Bible to be the final authority in all matters of faith and practice? How many believe that here tonight? Amen. John Paul II, by his doctrines, with his signature on the book, said you're condemned to an everlasting hell. But a Muslim can believe. Well, let me ask you something. Are you sincere in your belief? Do you sincerely believe that the Word of God is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice? How many believe here tonight that salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ? That same John Paul II said, you're damned to an everlasting hell. You can't go to heaven. You're blocked out. You're a heretic. Are you sincere in that belief? Are you sincere in that belief? Or are you just being a hypocrite about it? Are you sincere? If you're sincere, he damned you to an everlasting hell. His doctrine, what he signed his name to. And you're not going to get that on CNN then. You're not going to find that. ABC is not going to tell you about that. NBC is not going to tell you about that. But a Muslim, he can go to heaven if he's sincere in his faith. But these Jews, they had a motive. They got mad at this innocent man because he claimed to be the Son of God. Isn't that what it said? It says over there in the book of Acts, I think it was Peter was preaching. Peter was called forth to testify for the grand jury, and he said, ye men of Israel, ye have taken Jesus and by wicked hands crucified him. That's what Peter said. Look over in Acts in chapter 3. We'll pick up some more of Peter's testimony. You see, we're trying to find out tonight who is guilty of murder. Jesus said, if you want eternal life, do no murder. Thou shalt not kill. Isn't that what he said? Did we read that last night? Acts in chapter 3. Oh, we'll pick up his testimony down about verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel. These are Jews. Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus. Peter is testifying that God did have a son, and his name was Jesus. The Jews didn't like that. They wanted to crucify him because he made himself the Son of God. Whom ye delivered. Now notice what he says. Here's his testimony. Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Pilate was already to say, look, I know you delivered him for envy. I know you just got a little bit upset in a religious argument. I understand. I beat him a little bit. That ought to satisfy you. I just let him go and I'll go ahead and hang this murderer here. Pilate looked everywhere which but loose to trying to set Jesus free. See? But the Jews cried out. What did he cry out? Crucify him. And Peter said in Acts in chapter 2, by wicked hands they took him and crucified him. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We got some witnesses to it. The Jews killed Jesus. They're guilty of murder. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. We'll pick up what the Apostle Paul had to say about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, down about verse 14. We'll pick up his testimony. I say 1 Thessalonians. It might be, yes it is. Chapter 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God. That's you, by the way, Danny. That's you. I just thought you'd let you know on that. But ye, brethren, have become followers of the church of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now notice his testimony. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men. My Bible says that we have a couple witnesses that testified that the Jews killed the Prince of Life. They hung an innocent man. They're guilty of murder. And then when they stand before the revenger of blood, they're going to be guilty and he's going to cry out, take them and put them in a lake of fire. Because they're murderers. All murderers shall have their part in a lake of fire. Isn't that what the Bible says? Can God lie? Was God pulling your leg? God said it. It's going to happen. I would say the Jews were guilty of murder. They hung an innocent man. Look over Mark and the book of Mark. Now some of you are Jew haters. You better watch it. Those Jews are God's people. Now Brother Joe West over there preaching in Poland, doing his best to preach the gospel. You know what? Them Christians over in Poland, and I say that with quotes, them Christians over in Poland hate Jews. Did you know that? Do you know where they had the concentration camp and killed all them Jews during World War II? Over there in Poland, see? In that Christian nation. They still hate them. For the same reason they hung Jesus, because of envy. And Brother Joe is out there preaching the gospel, and they start wagging their finger. He's a Jew! He's a Jew! And then when you call them on it, no, I don't hate Jews. Liars. They're just rabid. And when they find out that you're a true Christian, and that you believe the Bible, then they start pretending. But if you just went up to them and just started talking to them, they'd badmouth the Jews every time. Woe be to them. And woe be to you if you hate the Jews. Amen. Those are God's people. You better watch out. Well, look over Mark in chapter 10. Not only did the Jews found guilty of murder, of killing an innocent man, but I dare say you Gentiles, the Gentiles are guilty. Now notice what it says down in verse 33. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Here's another witness, by the way. And they shall deliver him to who? The Gentiles. And they, who? The Gentiles, shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. You think the Jews are pretty bad people because they hung an innocent man? You ought to take a look at yourself, Gentile. Amen. I know some Gentiles that are willing to spit in your face. I was over there in Poland, in Warsaw. I had the standing on the street corner, snow was falling. And my Bible opened, and I began to read, and a Gentile who called himself a Christian in that Roman Catholic country called Poland, where over 95% of the people are Roman Catholic, all baptized in the Roman Catholic Church, partakers of that sacrament of grace. This man, who no doubt partook of other sacraments of grace, because he was an older man, came up to me, and I hadn't even begun hardly reading the Bible, and spit in my face. He was a Gentile who called himself a Christian. He was faithful to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, why would he do something like that? Did he think I wasn't sincere in my faith? John Paul II said, if you're sincere in your faith, then we can have religious harmony. Did he think I was a hypocrite? And if he did think I was a hypocrite, why would he spit in my face? You see, Gentiles are dirty, rotten dogs too. Amen. And my Bible says they delivered Jesus, an innocent man, over the Gentiles. And just look how dirty, rotten they are. They begin to mock him. And they spit upon him and they killed him. You know what some Gentiles did the Jews during World War II? They'd take a cell. It wasn't hardly any bigger than this. You understand? And they'd put four men in there. It's not hardly any bigger than this. I don't know the exact measurements, but we went and saw it. Wasn't hardly, and they'd leave men there for about 4 days. Now how are you going to, you can't hardly move. How do they use the restroom? How do they sleep? That's the way they killed them. Some of them they lined up. After they lied to them, see, what's that word again? Subtlety. They were being very subtle. We're going to relocate you so that you can go to a work camp. They lied to them down to the very end. They had them bring all their luggage. And when they got them there, they had this beautiful camp with grass, and it was just beautiful. And they had nice little buildings out there, and they had people out there working. And so the train comes rolling in there, and these people get off, and they look, and down to the very end. And they had these people in this camp here write them letters saying, yes, we're in a work camp, we're working hard. These are Gentiles. Many of them were members of that Roman Catholic Church. Are you with me tonight? This happened in the Roman Catholic country called Poland. Some of you didn't know that Adolf Hitler was a Roman Catholic. Now, I may be mistaken on this, but I know of nowhere where he was excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church. I know of nowhere where it's written down where the Pope came out and said, listen, that Adolf Hitler is damned to an everlasting hell. Except, perhaps, by the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, that if you commit suicide, you have no hope of mercy. You committed the unpardonable sin, and therefore you go to hell. But nothing official coming out and condemning him. But they condemned Martin Luther. What did they think? Martin Luther was a hypocrite? That he wasn't sincere in his faith? They condemned him. Well, they got him off that train and told him, you need to take a shower. Seems logical. You've been on a long train ride. Kind of stuffy in there. Right? You need to take a shower.
They stripped him down right in front, all women included, just stripped him down. Right in front of the guards, right in front of everybody, just stripped him down right there. Locked him in the shower. Just packed him in there. And then they turned on the gas. And what happens is you can't breathe. And you're packed in there like a sardine. And they begin clawing. And they're trying to get out. There's a Gentiles doing this. There's Gentiles doing this. And they're screaming. And sometimes they'd scratch the person in front of them to death, just trying to get out of there. And then they begin vomiting. And then they would expire. And then these Gentiles would have to go in there and clean that up in about 10 minutes. Have to have all them bodies out of there and have that place spot clean because they had some more people ready to get to take a shower. Yeah, Rotten and just as guilty. I think we have enough to indict the Gentiles. That's you. You're a Gentile. You killed and hung an innocent man. You scourged him and you mocked him and you spit upon him and then you hung him on a tree. You knew he was innocent. Look over in Mark in chapter 15. There is a Gentile by the name of Pilate. We're going to have to indict him also. Pilate was guilty of murder, I declare unto you. He's guilty of murder because notice what he cries out in verse 14. We're not going to read all these verses, but notice what he says in verse 14. Mark in chapter 15, verse 14. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? This is after they cried out, crucify him. And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. Now notice. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. This is after he said, why? What evil has he done? This is after he said, I find no fault in him. My Bible says, here's his motive. He wanted to content the people. He was politically motivated. He did not want to lose his job, so he denied Jesus. And some of you would raise a righteous finger and righteous wrath and say, Pilate is guilty of murder. And you would be right. He is guilty of murder. But some of you have denied Jesus because you wanted to content the people. Amen. Same motive. Am I talking to you tonight? Amen. Huh? You didn't want to take the side of Jesus because mama was against it. Hello? Are you still with me? You didn't want to take the side of Jesus because the guys down at the job didn't like that way. And so, you, in order to content the people, delivered Jesus over unto the soldiers. While this raging crowd, these people that are filled with envy and hatred, religious people, priests, chief priests, every one of these people believed in God. Every one of these people had faith. Every one of these people had religion. All religions go to heaven, you know. That's what everybody believes, right? These people in a rage crying out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. You ever been there before? And Pilate, willing to content the people, turned him over, and you did the same thing. Down to the job, they're taking God's name in vain every other minute. And you didn't stand up. They're not even trying to hang you. And you don't even want to take the time to stand up and say, hey, if you want to take somebody's name in vain, why don't you use mine? Amen. Use my name. Don't use my Savior's name. Don't use that good man's name in vain. Don't use my Lord's name in vain. Besides that, the Bible says you're not supposed to take God's name in vain. Amen. Don't you believe that you have to go to heaven by keeping the commandments? He said you're not going to make it because thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God's name in vain. And you did it. Therefore, you're condemned. That's what everybody believes, ain't it? You got to keep the commandments in order to go to heaven? You say, Pilate had a motive. He was politically motivated. He didn't want to lose his job. Some of you had a motive, didn't you? Don't you? You don't want to serve Jesus because you got a job. Am I talking to you tonight? And now some of you are thinking, now Brother Brent, you said you was going to be nice. I'm sorry. I'll get back to being nice tomorrow, but right now we're preaching. Look at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19. And when he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man. Notice, you hear that? That just man. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now before I go on, some of you here tonight, you got a godly wife going to come in and tell you to do the right thing. But you're Mr. Macho, right? You're Mr. Macho. Hey, I run the show around here, I do what I want. Yeah. She gave you some good counsel. Told you to do the right thing. Gave you a little bit of wisdom, but you're too puffed up. And so you're going to crucify Jesus. Isn't that what happened? But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude. Now look who's doing the persuading. The religious leaders of the times of Jesus. The priests were persuading people. Do you know some priests today that are persuading people?
They do it. How do they do it?
Thank you.
And they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. They want him destroyed. They don't just want him dead. They want him destroyed. They want to spit on him. They want to plow on his back. They want to pluck off his beard. They want to put a crown of thorns on his head. They want to mock him. They want to despise him. They want to destroy him.
You ever read the history of Mexico? What some priests did down in Mexico 500 years ago to convert the Indians down in Mexico, that Christian religion called the Roman Catholic Church? You ever read history? Did you ever read your history book? Oh, they wouldn't do that today, would they?
And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, what would you think? You'd think they'd say, Jesus, give us Jesus.
Barabbas.
Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil have they done? And they cried out the more, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it.
Now, we know what happened here. He's passing the buck, ain't he? He thinks baptism will wash away his sins. That's what happened. He's washing his hands in the water, ain't he? Right? Some of you think that tonight, don't you? You think you can escape because you had a little bit of water put on your body somewhere. Right? Am I telling the truth tonight?
Yes.
Pilate thought he could get out of it by washing his hands. You think that was sufficient?
No.
I think he's guilty. Amen. And I think when he stands before and he meets the revenger of blood, that we have enough to indict him, that he stands guilty and he's going to say, take him away to the lake of fire. He's a murderer.
This same chapter and verse 26, I say, you know, we're just getting, this is a total conspiracy. I mean, we started the investigation, we thought it was just one man, Judas Iscariot. But that led us down to the priest and to the Jews and the Gentiles and even the governor. I mean, this case is blown wide open. And now the military is getting in on it. We got some military bases around here. Look what it says in the same chapter down to verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now notice, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, the frenzied mob. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. And a reed in his right hand, they bowed the knee before him, mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Yes, soldiers. Now we have soldiers. The soldiers, their job is to protect the innocent. Their job is not to destroy the innocent. We have soldiers in this country to stand and protect our liberty and righteousness and holiness.
But these soldiers took an innocent man and hung him on a tree. Isn't that what the Bible says? Are they guilty of murder? They're going to have their part in the lake of fire.
Look at John in chapter 13. We should have known that if there was going to be murder, old Slewfoot would show his face. John in chapter 13 and verse 2. He was a murderer from the beginning. Verse 2, he says, in the supper being ended, the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. I told you he'd show up. Look down in Luke in chapter 22 and verse 3. Aren't you glad you have a Bible?
Amen.
Aren't you glad I'm not standing up here opinionating?
Amen.
And giving you my opinion. We're reading. What are we reading? Look on the front of your Bibles. Look on the front. Does it say Holy Bible?
Amen.
What are we reading? We're reading the Holy Bible. We're reading God's Word. Look in Luke in chapter 22 and verse 3. What does it say? Then entered Satan into Judas, certain Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. You see, if there's going to be a murder going on, you mark it down. Satan's around somewhere.
Yeah.
And old Satan shows up. Didn't see him, did you? Because he is hiding in Judas Iscariot. You see, the devil never does show up like he really is. Satan. He always pretends that he's something else. Sometimes he pretends he's an apostle.
Yeah.
Do you know some people running around the earth today that call themselves apostles? And you know, there's just something not right with them. They claim to be the friends of Jesus, like Judas Iscariot did. Jesus said he was a devil from the very beginning. But, you know, you look back on it and you say, something was wrong. He pretended like he cared for the poor, but he was raking in the money under the table.
You know any people like that? Huh? Satan. Yeah, he's going to have his day. Anybody read Revelation chapter 19, 20? Get down in there. He's going to have his day. The revenge of blood is going to meet him one day. Now, this is just blown out of all proportion. I mean, it started out with Judas Iscariot. Then the religious people got involved, the priests. Who would have thought that we started this investigation? Who would have thought that they were involved in the hanging of an innocent man? Then we found out the whole people of Jews were guilty. And then the Gentiles. Then the governor, even. Then the soldiers. Well, we expected the devil, obviously. We expected that. But our investigation is not complete. And now, with sadness. And I think that all of us ought to be sad now. I know this is going to shock you, but the disciples will. Look in Matthew chapter 26, verse 55. That traitor is already coming out with a band. They got lanterns and torches and weapons, and they're coming out to take Jesus. His disciples are with him. He's got some disciples that were faithful to him and even made profession. I'm going to be faithful to you the dying day. He's got some disciples there. I think it was old Thomas that said, when he was getting ready to go back to Jerusalem, he said, you know, they sought to persecute you back there. They sought to kill you. We're going to go. We're going to go with you. We got some brave men that were willing to go with Jesus to his death. In fact, that's what they said. Notice what happened. In the same hour said the Jesus to the multitude, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then, notice what happens. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They're coming to hang an innocent man, and his beloved disciples do not stand up with him. Aren't they guilty? Aren't they guilty? Some of you young ladies can put a stop to sin by just reaching up and tell that man, no! Don't do that. That's wrong. These disciples didn't stand up and say, hey, this is wrong. They could have stood up and pricked the consciences of those people. Somebody could have went over and got a hold of Judas and said, Judas, what are you doing? I don't mean you, brother. I didn't mean that. I'm just, what are you doing? This is Jesus. Don't you know they're going to hang him? They might have rescued old Judas, but they fled. They chickened out. You know, sometimes all it takes is somebody to just stand up and say, hey, this is wrong. Sometimes just one man standing up before a crowd, a multitude of people, say, hey, wait a minute, this is just wrong. I thank God for some boys, my boys. When they get around that crowd and they start breaking out the dope, my boy says, goodbye, we're out of here. This is wrong. If you guys are going to take the dope, then we're leaving. But they tell them it's wrong. Their friends start getting out cigarettes and alcohol. They said, put that stuff up. If you want to be my friend, I don't want to have it around me. And all of a sudden, their friends, they don't have to smoke anymore. They just lost the urge. The disciples denied the Lord. Don't they have a law in Texas you're supposed to help people? I mean, you see a little kid about ready to go off the end of a pier. Don't you have a responsibility to go over there and try to help him? And you turn your back on him? You know what I saw in about the first or second month that I was in Poland? I'm in there writing letters in my office, and all of a sudden here comes Cassie, comes into my office. Daddy, Daddy! Just got big old tears coming down her eyes. Daddy, Daddy! They're beating up that woman! I said, what? They're beating up that woman! What woman? We're on the fourth floor of her apartment. I said, what are you talking about? Come see! She grabs my hand, takes me over the window. Look! Down there! And looked out across the street. This man is just beating this woman. Just with his fist, just beating. And I'm watching all these people going by, just walking by. Like nothing was happening. I thought, what is going on? Then he knocks her down. Then he goes up to her, there's her head, and he pretends it was a football and kicks her right in the face. And the people are just walking by. I said, that's it! And I ran out the door. As I'm going out, I said, Jason, you go down to the neighbor who spoke a little bit of English. This is only our second month in Poland. I don't speak any Polish. I just think, what in the world is going on out there? And I ran down four flights. This is out in the front of the apartment. We have to go out the back door. And I run down four flights of stairs. 62 steps, my wife tells me. I ran all the way down there. I run out the door, and I run around the building. And I come around the building, and that man is still beating her, and the people are still going by, doing nothing. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? And I'm picking up speed. And I'm running. I don't even have a plan yet. I'm just going to get out there. And I ran, and I ran. I said, I'm not going to stop. And I ran him right over. I'm just a little guy. I'm not used to doing that kind of thing. Now, Big John, you know, he could do something like that, you know. But I'm not used to doing stuff like that. And then, you know, after I hit him, I thought, well, what am I going to do now? And he was starting to get up, and I said, oh, man, if he gets up, I'm really going to be in trouble. So I jumped on him. I saw this on Big Time Wrestling. So I grabbed his tie.
He had a tie on. In the old days, that's why they don't wear beards anymore, see? You don't want your enemy to grab your beard. Well, you shouldn't wear a tie if you're going to get in a fight, see? So I grabbed his tie, and I got him. And then I think, now what am I going to do? And I'm trying to, because I'd already been in class for maybe a week. I'd already taken a week of Polish. Maybe it was 2 weeks. I don't remember exactly. And I ain't quite figured out how to conjugate words. I didn't know how to do the ending. But I knew what the word for woman was, kobieta. And I knew I was supposed to change that ending on there, but I figured it didn't matter right then. And I also picked up a word about hitting, which is beach. But you're supposed to change that into something. But I didn't know how to do it. And I already knew the word for no in Polish. Nie. So I had me a sentence almost, right? So I got this guy down, and I said, nie, beach, kobieta. And he's starting to move. And I grabbed that tie, and I said, nie, beach, kobieta. Nie, beach, kobieta. And that, I don't know how long that went on. And that guy finally says, I'm not going to hit that woman anymore. I said, good thing. Because I don't know any more words. And then my neighbor came down. And we had a little talk. And she says, it happens all the time. I said, what happens all the time? Stuff like that. And I said, and nobody does anything? And they came and they took Jesus and his disciples fled. After one of them promised that he's going to go with him, he's going to go to the end, and he denied him. I mean, they could have done something. I think they're guilty. You could have done something for your Savior too, and you hightailed and you ran. Some of you could have protected some little old ladies down in Mexico, but you wouldn't go. Hell, some of you could have protected some of the people over in Poland, but you wouldn't go because you're not concerned about them. Some of you could have protected some people here, right in here in San Antonio, Texas, but you're not concerned about them. You're worried about yourself. And when they come up to you and they say, well, weren't you with Jesus? Aren't you of Galilee also? Then I see you with Jesus. And you didn't, I know not the man. Liar. Liar. And then it gets worse. See, it's always downhill when you go, it's slippery slope time. I mean, it's like you're on a big old hill with snow on it. I mean, you start going down and all of a sudden you're going down. You understand what I'm saying? You started off just saying, well, I just don't know him. But it didn't look like they're convinced, so then you start cursing. Didn't you hear what I said? I don't know the blankety blank. Huh? That was a disciple. How many disciples are here tonight? Guilty. Look at John in chapter 12 and verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. Notice the motive. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, brothers and sisters, disciples in Christ, those of you that have been born again by the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God, I say unto you that if we want revival, and I say we, including me, that we're going to have to learn to love the praise of God more than the praise of men.
Amen.
I don't mean to be ugly. And you know that I have not come up here to condemn anybody. But I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us here tonight could be a better soul winner if we'd learn to love the praise of God more than the praise of men. You could be a witness as you're going through that checkout counter. I'm not saying you got to give this big old sermon, 40-minute sermon. But you can say, how are you doing today, Paula? Because you look on her name tag, see? You figure out Maria, Jane, John, Joe. How you doing today? Having a good day? I'd like to invite you out. Here's some gospel preaching. We have a fine church, friendly church. This is a friendly church, right? Because we shake everybody's hand, right? This is a living church, right? Because we say amen every once in a while.
Amen.
I mean, it's a living church, see? And you could be a gospel witness. But you see, that lady behind you has got her cart back there, and you got to looking over your shoulder. Wasn't there somebody in the Bible did that once? Looked over her shoulder. Turned into a pillar of salt. That looked like a stone. But you was worried about what she's going to say, right? Huh? Same thing on the job. Same thing going door to door. Well, they might turn me down. That's probably, you're right. They might just do that. But it'd be better to suffer with Jesus. It'd be better this world deny you than Jesus deny you. They had a motive. See, even the disciples had a motive. Sinner friend, I want to tell you something. My Bible says Jesus was delivered for our offenses. And he was raised again for our justification. That Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions.
Amen.
Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
Some of you are just a little bit skeptical yet about that last one, about the disciples being guilty.
you turn over to 1 John right now and you read chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Who knows what the great commandment is? Quickly, who knows what the great commandment is? You're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. And the second is like unto it. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. Did I say that right? Look at John in chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You love the brethren? He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding. Who killed Jesus? Was it Judas? Was it the priests? Was it the Jews? Was it the Gentiles? Was it Pilate? Was it the soldiers? Was it the devil? Was it the disciples? Was it sinners? Who killed Jesus? Look in Acts in chapter 2. I don't know about you, but I think it's clear. I think we named all the guilty parties, don't you? I don't think we missed anybody. I think that we have a sweeping indictment, and everybody sitting here tonight is guilty. Nobody has an alibi. The preacher's guilty. The congregation's guilty. The pastors are guilty. Everybody's guilty here tonight. The Roman Catholics are guilty. The Protestants are guilty. The Jews are guilty. The Muslims are guilty. The Buddhists are guilty. Everyone's guilty. We don't have any innocents out here. Everyone's guilty. The disciples are guilty. Who killed Jesus? I tell you, if the revenger of blood came right now, nobody'd stand a chance. Speaking about this trial that we're partakers of. But notice something. In Acts in chapter 2, look down about verse 23. Oh, we'll start at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. That's right. Among you by miracles and wonders and signs. He proved himself to be the Son of God by the signs that he did. Which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. You know this to be true, don't you? Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What is by the foreknowledge of God? How can these things be? God decided to slay his own son? How can that be? Did he have a motive? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at Romans in chapter 8 quickly. I'm about ready to pass out up here just thinking about it. How can this be? God delivered his own son? Down at about verse 30, 31. What shall we then say to these things? Oh yes, please tell me. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered it up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God delivered his own son for us. God determined that a long time ago, that he was going to give his own son. Way back when Slewfoot thought he had the upper hand, God decided he was going to give his son. Long before Adam ever fell, God had a plan that he was going to deliver his son. For who? For all these guilty people out here. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight now? Everyone is guilty, but Jesus dies in your place. Amen. Look at John in chapter 10. I mean, the news is just coming in. It's just startling. John in chapter 10 and verse 17. Jesus himself makes a statement. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Hold the phone. I thought they murdered him. I thought Pilate had the power. I thought he was in the hands of the soldiers. I thought it was Judas Iscariot that turned him over. I thought it was the priest in a rage of envy had crucified him. I thought it was the disciples that betrayed him. I thought it was men that killed him, the Jews and the Gentiles. I thought it was sinners. What is this? He says he laid down his life. He saw those that were perishing, and he died for them. Isn't that what it says? Because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Where do murderers go? To hell. Except for here, we find that Jesus laid down his life for murderers. That's why Moses is in heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul is in heaven.
Did you hear me tonight? Can you think of a crime worse than murder? Can't hardly think of one worse than that one, right? Worse than murder? Jesus died even for murder. Listen to what the Bible says. It says in Titus in chapter 2, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He gave himself!
Now this is marvelous. I think I would die. I know I'd die for my wife. If somebody's trying to kill her, I'd sacrifice my life for her. I think I'd even do it for my children if I was able. You know what? I think I might even do it for most of you here tonight. I'd at least try, I think. But you know that scumball out there? That dirty, rotten bum? You know, he's got scabs all over him and his hair's all cracked and he's got a beard and he's got AIDS and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even think I'd give him a quarter. You know, I'd just kind of avoid him. You understand what I'm saying? But here's Jesus. I know I would not die for anybody that murdered my wife. I would not give my life for them. There's no way. But here's Jesus looking at a bunch of scum. You hear me tonight? Looking at some people just like an abomination, you know? Just like that same feeling when you see that man or that woman, and I've seen plenty of them. I've seen them passed out in the gutter. I see them vomit all over. It's just terrible, some things I see. The Bible says that we're worms and no men. And Jesus laid down his life for us. Here we are on the precipice of the lake of fire, ready to be cast in. But Jesus laid down his life for us. He died for sinners. Jesus said, "Thinkest thou not that I can pray to my Father now?" His disciples abandoned him. But he could have just called out the word. And 12 legions of angels would have came down and delivered him. Jesus had the power to call out to heaven and fire would have fell down from heaven and consumed them all. Jesus had the power even on the cross of Calvary to call out to his Father. Only he would have came and rescued him. But he said some startling words on that cross after making these statements that he laid down his life for us. He cries out to God, looking out at his murderers, looking out at the very people that put the spikes in his hands and the guys that spit in his face. The guys that mocked him and desired to destroy him. The guys, the men and women that for envy delivered him. He calls out to God and he could have called fire. He could have called for angels. He could have called for a chariot of fire to come down and deliver him. But listen to his words. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Brethren, sinner friends, that's the gospel. You had a murderer here in Texas. Surprise, surprise, it was a woman murderer. Went into a hotel room, I think it was over here in Houston. I think it was with an axe. Chopped up a couple of people. Killed them. Got pleasure out of it. Testified to it. Went to jail for it. And died for it. But there was something startling happened. Her name was Carla Faye Tucker. And I don't know, I wasn't there, and sometimes it's hard to judge by news reports, but I think she got saved. But I want to tell you something. The woman made a mistake at the very end. I don't mean to degrade her testimony or anything, but I think she made a mistake. And if you can understand what I'm about to tell you, you can understand what the gospel of grace is. She had this tremendous testimony. People say that she just changed. She was a new creature. That's why I believe that she was saved. I think the woman got saved. Because lost people were giving this testimony about her. People that don't believe criminals. I mean, they were giving this testimony saying this woman's real. Most of you probably know the story, don't you? They came up and asked her to put a microphone in front of her because she asked for mercy. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for mercy. Even if you're a murderer, there's nothing wrong with it. But you got no rights to it. You got no rights to it. You got no rights to mercy. If you're a murderer, you deserve death. If you're a murderer, when you meet with the revenger of blood, you're going to pay the price. If you're a murderer, you deserve everlasting hell. That's what my Bible says. But she asked for mercy. I understand that she sent a letter to the Governor Bush. He said, "I want you to have mercy." But they stuck this microphone in front of him and asked her, "Well, why should Governor Bush give you mercy?" And here's where she made her mistake. She said, "Because I have so much to offer now. I have so much love to give." Now, I don't doubt the sincerity of her statement. But that's not why you get mercy, see. You know what would have been the best statement for her to make? She should have said, "I'm just asking for mercy. I don't deserve it." And the only reason Governor Bush should give me mercy is because he's merciful. Do you understand me tonight? Now, every one of you here tonight are murderers. We've already proved that with the scriptures, didn't we? Every one of you. Right? It's time to ask for mercy. But you're not going to ask for mercy because you have so much love to offer. You got nothing to offer.
Amen.
There's nothing that you got to offer. You slayed the Son of God. You could have let him go, but you cried out, "Crucify him." You betrayed him with a kiss, see?
You said you was going to be faithful to the end, but you weren't faithful. You didn't even last a day. You hightailed it out and left him there all by himself. You got nothing off for God. But it was determined by God himself to give his son for you. You know what he said? He said, if you'd come unto me, I would no wise cast you out.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Now we're going to have an invitation. I don't know everybody in the room. I know one thing, everybody's guilty. And I know one thing, if you haven't asked Jesus for mercy, you're headed to hell. Because he's the revenger of blood. He's also merciful. And so if you ask him for mercy, he'll give it to you. But notice who you have to ask. Judas made a grave mistake. He shouldn't have ran to priests and asked them for mercy. He should have went back to Jesus.
Amen.
It was a good thing that Judas realized the error of his ways and repented. But he should have repented toward Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, my Bible says. How about you, friend? Have you asked Jesus for mercy? Not the saints, not the virgin, not religion, not me. Have you asked Jesus for mercy? Because you're guilty. If you're a sinner and don't have an everlasting life, you ought to ask him for mercy. You ought to do it today. We're just a few seconds here, just a few moments. We're all going to stand up and we're going to sing a song, probably number 253. And we're going to invite you to come down here. And if you've never asked Jesus for mercy, we'd like to pray with you. We'd like to help you and encourage you to call up to God for mercy. That I'm talking to you, sinner friend. And for you saints of God, I think you need to ask for some mercy too, huh? Huh? I think you need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I denied you when I shouldn't have. Have mercy upon me. My Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We serve a merciful God. We're going to stand and sing number 253. I think it's, Lord, I'm coming home. If God has spoken to you, I want you to come out. Don't wait. I want you to get out of your chair. And I want you to walk right down here and I want you to get on your knees. And I want you to ask God for mercy. Number 253. Lord, I'm coming home. Has God spoken to you tonight? Come home. Sinner friend, you're guilty of murder. One day the revenger of blood is going to come back and you'll not find mercy in that day. If you want mercy, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. Ask for God's mercy right now, today. They're coming. Take this opportunity. While the Spirit of God is wooing, while the Church of God is praying, while the preacher of God is pleading, why don't you come now and get yourself right with God. Fall down on your knees before God Almighty and ask Him for mercy. I know that great God. He's merciful. It's a merciful God. Coming home. Sing it out. Anybody else? God spoke to you tonight. It's time for you to ask for mercy. Take this opportunity to ask God for mercy. You've been praying for revival? Ask God for mercy. Praying for loved ones? Ask God for mercy. Sinner friend, do you have eternal life? If you died tonight, would you face a merciful God? Or would you face the revenger of blood? Oh, my friend, don't die tonight without Jesus. Don't go out these doors without Jesus. Why don't you make yourself, humble yourself before God. Get on your knees and call out to Jesus, ask Him for mercy. He'll give you mercy. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God spoke to you. Do what God has told you to do. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we're reminded of a man that went to the temple to pray. He was a publican. And all he could do was beat his chest and cry out, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, that's our prayer tonight. Be merciful to us, sinners. Amen.